Well, we are in a series called All In. Everybody say All In. And I hope that you truly are all in. And first month of this, because it's actually about a four-month series, the first month of that was on prayer. Last month, then we talked about the Word. And this month, we're talking about? Okay, well, we're just starting, so some of you may not. Worship. Come on, everybody say worship. And then we'll go into serving later, but all this month we'll be talking about worship. So let's go ahead and look in Psalm 95. Psalm 95, the first six verses, says, O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountain are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Can we get an amen on that today? Well, God is above all. God made all. He can do all, and he's worthy of all praise, thanks, and worship. Amen. And everyone is a worshiper. Everyone is a worshiper. You are a worshiper. You say, oh, no, not really. I didn't sing at all, or I just looked around. No, everybody's a worshiper. You were divinely designed. You were strategically created to be a worshiper. The variable is who or what you worship. You're going to worship. Come on, you're going to worship something. You're going to worship someone. You will be a worshiper. You're wired that way to be a worshiper. And the end result depends on who you worship and what you worship. And the end result will either be that you end up with fullness in your life and fulfillment, or you'll end up empty in your life and seeking something else and more to try to worship and give that focus and adoration to. So St. Augustine said this, our hearts are restless until they find the object of worship that we were created to honor. So until the way we're divinely designed and wired, until we get that focused right on the one who is worthy of our worship, until that happens, there will be, look at me for this, there will be a restlessness within you. And so there are people worshiping all kinds of things and people and stuff and situations in life, and they're wired to do that. And they may have great money, fame, power, whatever it would be, but until we find and that connection with the one we are designed to worship, there will be a restlessness on the inside. And so worship is for God, and worship is to God. But how many of you know that worship does us good? It does us good when we worship the Lord. We're going to be looking at that today. So what is worship? Worship is it's feeling and expressing something. It's feeling and expressing worth, adoration, devotion, reverence. For us as Christians, it is acknowledging God's greatness. How many of you know that he is great? Amen. Oh, let me ask you again. How many of you know that he is great? Amen. And let me tell you that your worship, the intensity of it, the reality of it for you is really determined by your view of God. If you view God as small and weak, you'll probably have small and weak worship. But when you know that how great he is and how awesome and able he is, that's going to impact your worship. We acknowledge God's greatness, his perfection, his ability, his accomplishments. Our worship is a response to his goodness. Has he been good to you? Yes. Oh no, has he been good to you? Yes. Was he patient with you this week? Yes. Did he provide for you this week? Yes. Did he protect you probably this week? And see, it is just plain rude and dumb of us to then not worship him when he is so good to us. So it's to acknowledge that goodness of God in our lives, to acknowledge his mercy, to acknowledge his grace. Understand this, only God is worthy. Only God is worthy. Now, there are many ways to worship the Lord, many ways. And the scripture prescribes many of those for us. You know, the lifting of hands. Come on, yada. Yada. That's one of the ways. We're going to find out why today. Why does he want us to do it? We kneel. We bow. We sing. We dance. We clap. There are a number of things that the Bible says to do. We're going to find out why here in just a few moments. But we're also called to live a life of worship, which is to be worshipful in what we do. So whether you're a hairdresser, a brain surgeon, a pilot, a stay-at-home mom, a farmer, or whatever you would be, you do that as unto the Lord. You do it as an act of worship. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And we live that way. We're going to talk more about that in a couple of weeks here. But we are to worship the Lord the way the Bible shows us, and then how we live. And we make sure that we don't boil it down into just a list of things that we do. Praise and worship, we have to guard that we don't allow it to just become going through the motions, or that our worship of God becomes some kind of ritual, check off the list kind of thing. We never want that to happen. So get this principle right here. The heart is the heart of true worship. Read that with me. The heart is the heart of true worship. Look in Matthew chapter 15. Jesus said, and he's quoting from the prophet Isaiah, he said, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips." Come on. "But their heart is where? Far from me, and in vain they worship me." That word vain there means empty, fruitless, useless. Let me give you my interpretation of it. You just wasted your time. You just wasted your time. So, how does this all relate to us? The heart is the heart of true worship. We just had a time of worship. And actually, studying the Word of God is an act of worship. But let's just go back to, you know, we had our time of worship. Was your heart connected? Was your heart connected? Or was it far off? Did you sing the songs and do the stuff, but your heart was not connected? You know what? That's a swing and a miss. So we want to make sure that our heart is always connected. Our priorities, and I think actually a mandate for this church, for Meadowbrook, we try to simplify some things. How many of you like things simple? You know, I would rather read the summary than read the book. Depending on what it is. So if this is a how-to kind of thing, tell me the four things I'm supposed to do and help me to know. And maybe that's just me, but the more simple it can be, the more clarity we have. It is said that clarity is the basis of cooperation. So if we are a football team and we all get into the huddle and go, "All right, ready, team? Let's win." And then we go to our places, we might not win, okay? Depending on how bad the other team is. But if we get together and we've worked out something and we know you go here and you do this. I remember as a kid, you know, just playing in the yard, we would draw stuff out in the sand, you know, of who was the pattern you were to run and who was to do what, you know. At least you had some clarity, and clarity is the basis of cooperation. And when we all come together, there has to be some cooperation, because the Bible says, do everything decently and in order. Thank you. So, for us, we've clarified. We tried to make it really simple. What do we do when we come together? And you know these things, but let me go over these. First of all, we lift up. Lift up. Come on, everybody say lift up. And that's our time of praise and worship. The second would be look up. Everybody say, look up. That's our time of prayer. We always do that just before we get into the Word. And now we're in a time, what is this called? Listen up. Listen up. And then in a few moments, when we get done, we're going to leave here, and what are we going to do? Live it out. And so I got to add one to this at the top, and it's this. Show up. Okay? So show up, lift up, look up, listen up, go live it out. All right? Now, let's look at lift up, because that has to do with worship. And in worship, you notice, our time of worship was virtually entirely music. Music and singing. That's not the only way to worship. But look at me. That is the best group activity. And so when we all come together, it's very important what we do. It would be chaos if I said, all right, everybody ready? On three, we're going to worship. Because some of you say, well, I do jumping jacks to worship. Well, good. Do that at home. Well, I brought my tuba today. Leave that in your car. And so we've got to make sure, let everything be done decently and in order. And music is the best group activity. And notice, even for that, then you have worship leaders for the group so that we can flow along together. This will make more and more sense as we go along. Now, let me share with you some principles about worship and some takeaways of worship. First of all, worship honors the one to whom we owe everything. Would you read that with me? Worship honors the one to whom we owe everything. How many of you know we owe him everything? How many of you know we deserve nothing? Now, please do not hear me making light of, demeaning, playing around with anything else, the greatness of what God has done for us. But how many of you have seen the movie Toy Story? All right, the rest of you, what do you do for fun? Okay, come on, how many of you have seen Toy Story? Okay, I'll try to fill you in. There's a place called Pizza Palace, and there's the crane game, and there's like these rubber, plastic, kind of little space alien things in there. And in Toy Story, they get rescued out of there. And then they're in the back of a truck, and some of them start to fall off of there. And Mr. Potato Head saves their lives. All right, hang on. And forever then, they follow him around and say, "You have saved our lives. We are eternally grateful." Y'all get the idea? Yes. All right. Now, not lightening anything at all, but let's go to the real deal. He has saved us. And we are eternally grateful. We are eternally grateful. And we need to express that every way we can. Every time Mr. Potato Head would turn around, there they are. And it is essentially, and again, not demeaning this at all, it is essentially worship and it is gratitude. And so worship is this, it honors the one to whom we owe everything. So every opportunity that we have to worship him, we are eternally grateful. Can I get an amen today, church? Next is this, worship is an invitation into his presence. Worship is an invitation into his presence. When we gather together in worship, guess what? He is divinely present. He said, if two or more of you gather together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. We also see in the Psalms that he inhabits the praises of his people. So when we come together, he is divinely and actually present with us. God is truly omnipresent, which means this, he is everywhere present at the same time. Don't miss this. He is everywhere present at the same time, but he is not everywhere present in the same way. So even right now, he is with us. He's also at the truck stop. He's also at somebody's house. They've never been to church, or they quit church, or they skip church. He's everywhere present at the same time. But he is not everywhere present at the same in the same way. And where he is worshiped and welcomed and honored, he is here in a different way. Now, if we just go through our religious business and just do our stuff, he's here. But I'm telling you what, I want to know, I want to feel, I want him to do something in my life and in your life. And there was a time in Jesus' ministry, in his earthly ministry, where he was in Nazareth. And the scripture says this, he said he could do no mighty works there because of their unbelief. And if you look at that whole story of what's going on around, they didn't honor him. They said, how could he be anything? He's just from down the street. And what it was their lack of honor that he could do no mighty works there. You know what, folks? If we knew everybody's story, we need God to do some mighty works in some lives. We need him to do some stuff in us. In our bodies, in our homes, in our relationships, in our lives, we need God to do some mighty works. And he's everywhere present at the same time. He is not everywhere present in the same way. And so where he is welcomed and where he is honored, where he is worshiped, I believe God does some great things in our lives. Amen? Amen. Next is this: worship prepares our hearts, soil, for the seed of God's word. We know from the parables of Jesus that our hearts are like soil and the word of God is like seed. And that seed has to be able to penetrate into good ground. And so in Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 3, it says, "For thus says the Lord to the men of Judah," everybody say Judah, "and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and do not sow among thorns." Now, I don't have time to go into all the backstory on this, but Judah was a Levite. He was a priest. He was a musician, and he had to do, his task had to do with worship. And so this says, break up the fallow ground. I believe there's a connection between praise and worship, plowing up the soil of our hearts. Because what happens to the soil of your heart all week with people and problems and people problems and stuff and schedule and just all of those things going on? What happens to the soil? It just gets packed and tramped down all week long. And it's hard for the word of God to get down in there. That's one of the reasons why we lift up first, because if you just come in and your heart is all packed down from everything that's gone on, you know what? It's hard. It's like the seed of the word of God hitting the sidewalk and then just kind of bouncing off, you know? And the parable talks about that. But worship does what? It plows up. It breaks up the soil of our heart and gets us ready so that the seed of the word of God can take root in our lives. Amen? Next is this: worship orders and reorders our hearts, minds, and lives around God. Would you read that with me? Worship orders and reorders our hearts, minds, and lives around God. Let me put it all down in two words for you. Holy reset. It's a holy reset. For us, when we worship God, we get our focus back. We can reset back to the importance of God being in our life. Now, most things in life are horizontal. Most things are horizontal. Worship goes vertical. And here's the reality. Nothing else goes vertical. So without worship in our life, people go empty. They end up empty. They end up disoriented. Look at our culture. They end up confused. They end up bizarre because we're not connected to our Creator Redeemer. And worship takes us out of just the horizontal that everything else is and takes us into the vertical. And we get into the vertical, then life flows back into us. The windows of heaven are opened back up in our life. And even in our, quote, church life, if we don't go vertical, we'll end up religious. We'll end up just powerless and just going through the motions, and I don't want it. I don't want that for me, and I don't want it for us. And God is worthy that we worship him. But then the result of that in our life is, as we go vertical, he breathes and rains his life into us so that we don't end up with just a song service, or we just come and have some kind of talk and go through the motions and greet each other and go on our way and nothing changes. Instead, we have the wind and the rain and the light and the life that comes from heaven as we go vertical. Amen. Now look at this. Look at this picture here. Pull up the screen, if you will. These are some stadiums, some domes. There's a lot of these all over the world, and they open up like this. And so we're working right now with an architect to convert our building this way. We start fundraising next week. I'm joking. I'm just wanting this visual for you. That we do all that we do, but wouldn't it be awesome? I mean, just think about this. Get in there with me here. Wouldn't it be awesome when we start worship? And we get that visual of we're sending this up. We're not singing for each other. We're not doing this or that to be seen. We are going vertical. And I pray that you'll think about that. And like I said, fundraising starts next week for this. Now, let me cover a few things. Can I go pastoral for you for a few minutes here? I've heard this over the years. People say, well, I'm really not into worship. It's not about you. Well, I'm not that good a singer. Not a requirement. Or how about this one? I really only like worship when they play my songs. It's not about you. Now, we benefit every time we enter into worship, but worship is to God, and worship is for God, and He is worthy. Everybody say He's worthy. He's worthy that we give Him that worship. Psalm 150 says this, let everything, come on, help me, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, period. Praise the Lord. It's an imperative. If you have breath, you are to praise. You are to worship. You were created to worship God. And maybe, perhaps, the thing that's missing in your life, maybe the reason you're restless inside, maybe the reason there's confusion or anything else in your life, maybe that we're not getting that vertical connection with the Creator and with the Redeemer who is worthy, and to get ourselves plugged in this way with Him and worship Him is life-changing and eternity-changing. Amen. Now, God is worthy. God is worthy. And that is our focus. So when we worship, when we sing a song, when we do anything that's worship, He is our focus and He's worthy of that. Now get this principle, and I want to work off of this for just a few moments here. Worship requires focus. Say it with me. Worship requires focus. Without focus, it's not worship. Without focus, it's not worship. Even if I do a worship thing, even if I, well, the Bible says lift your hands. Even if I do that, but I'm not focused, it's not worship. Remember, the heart is the heart of true worship. And the heart cannot be in what the mind is not on. And so as I focus on the Lord, that's the purpose of lifting our hands. That's the purpose of singing a song. That's the purpose of bowing before the Lord. That's the purpose of anything the Bible tells us to do, is to help us to focus. And we want to do everything we can do to help you to focus. And He's the one that's worthy of our focus. Amen? Amen. The heart cannot be in what the mind is not on. Worship requires focus. So get yourself ready that when you come in that you focus. The other day we went to my oldest grandson, he's playing football, he's a freshman in high school, and the coach said in off season you got to be in another sport too. So he took up weightlifting, he got on the weightlifting team. And he's a ninth grader, and we've gone to a couple of his meets, and I just loved it. But we're in this gym, and there's like six different stations, and there's 100 young men all around, and families have come in, and coaches, and it is loud. And they're doing clean and jerk, and they're doing bench press. And when they do the clean and jerk and they let it down, they kind of like going, and letting, you know, the whole building's bouncing. And that's happened six different times, just constantly, all this going on. And I love it. I love watching it. But you know why I'm there? To focus on my grandson. And thankfully, I'm a little taller, so it's a little easier for me. But I'm taking pictures, and he'll tell me, people, I'll get good video of this. You know, and so I'm watching, and when he's on, I'm going to get to where I can focus. And if somebody's in my way, I'm going to get over there so I can focus. Yesterday, we had a two-year-old birthday for one of my grandsons, Jonas, and it was his day. We were there for them, and there were other families there and other kids there, and it was loud and fun and awesome. But when it came time to sing, I wanted to watch him. When he tore into a chocolate-covered donut, I wanted to watch him. When he opened up a gift from us, I wanted to watch him. He was my focus. And I'm telling you what, when you come to church, you need to make God your focus. Focus. Don't let anything else get in the way of that. So let me get real pastoral here for you for a few moments. Again, worship the way we do it in church, that's the best group activity. That's the best way to do it as a group. So listen to me. And if I hurt you, that's okay, but I don't want to harm you. There's a difference. But I want to move for the whole, because it's a group. Stay with the group. Okay? Follow the leader. Work together here. Let me give you a couple things. Don't get mad at me. If you get mad at me, get over it later, okay? All right? But I love you, and I love the church, and I want God worshiped, and I don't want anybody's focus broken by one of us. And so here, first one, get here on time. Okay, I already got some of you mad at me. It's all right. Get here on time. Don't be late. This is not the preview. This is not the warm-up. It's so vital for your heart. I just gave you the reasons for it. And get here. And plus, you don't want to distract others. I know you got the kids and the car and the cat and all the stuff that would hold you up. Just adjust that time so you can get here on time. All right, now everybody look at me and don't get your feelings hurt. Let's be grown-ups on this. And do not, when we worship, do not distract. Because the focus goes to Him. So don't do anything that would distract. None of us should block anybody else from giving their focus to God. None of us should interfere with the focus of somebody else. Well, at home, when I worship the Lord, I do jumping jacks. That's great. Go home. Or when you get home, do that. But when we're together, we've got to move together as a group. So monitor yourself a little bit. I sing loud. I sing all three services, every word of every song, and I love the whole time. I love it. But I would probably be a problem if I was back on row 6 or so, because the people would be behind me like, he sings too loud. So just be aware of the people around you. Make sure, stay with the group. And I'm telling you what, let's all keep our focus on Him and make sure that we don't break the focus of anybody else, because worship requires focus. And without focus, it's not worship. And He's worthy of our worship. And let's focus together in the way that He showed us to do. Amen? Amen. All right. Well, worship, He's worthy. And those who've been forgiven much, love much. We all deserved hell. So everything else is a gift. And our hearts should just be full. We are eternally grateful. And we should worship the Lord. And when we come together, I want you to come ready to focus and worship the Lord. When you get in your car, maybe you need to change what you're listening to in your car sometimes during the week so that you can focus on the Lord. Not so much news and all of this and all of that and all of this. And let's focus on the Lord. And I want to encourage you to be a worshiper, not just when you come, but be a worshiper throughout the week because He's worthy. And learn to get your focus on the Lord. Again, that's one of the reasons why the Bible said sing. Because when you sing, you elevate your voice and the way your brain works into a whole different beautiful place to focus in on Him. That's why whether you got a good voice or not, sing. Lift your hands. What does it do? It causes us to focus. All the different ways the Bible says. So I want us, before we leave today, to just focus in on Him. I want you to just think about being a worshiper, and us together think about worshiping Him together. Would you just close your eyes? Sometimes that helps you to focus. Worthy is Your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is Your name. Worthy is Your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is Your name. Come on, join me. Worthy is Your name. Come on, everybody.
Jesus, You deserve the praise. Worthy is Your name. Worthy is Your name. Jesus, You
on, church.
Be exalted now in the heavens as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Be exalted now in the heavens as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name.
Tell him,
you deserve the praise.
You alone,
worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name.
One more time.
Worthy is.
Everybody, lift your hands to the Lord. Lord, we all right now acknowledge that you are worthy, that you are God. We owe you everything. We don't even know, we can't even recognize how fully good and powerful you are. But we know that you are God and there is none other. And we commit ourselves as individuals and we commit ourselves as a church family to be worshipers. When we gather together, we refuse to have a song service. We come together to lift you up and to go vertical as if the ceiling splits open and we offer praise and worship straight to you, Lord. And I pray that every time we come together that you would pour out your power and do mighty works among us. But mostly, Lord, that you would sense and know that you are honored in this place. And then as we leave this place every time, and as we leave this place today, God, maybe we be worshipers in our car, in our garden, in our kitchen, at our job, everywhere that we would go. And help us to grow and develop in our focus on you. And I just thank you, precious God, that we have this invitation and this freedom to just come into your presence and to worship you. We declare... We commit. We are worshipers of you. It's our created purpose. It's our eternal purpose. And we will worship you because you alone are worthy. I pray blessing upon your people now. Surround them with favor and peace. Holy Spirit, let there be a spirit of worship upon us as we go and wherever we go. And I thank you, Lord. Bless your people now. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen, amen and amen. Come on, let's give the Lord praise one more time. Hallelujah.